Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, my guests, my listeners, viewers, whatever you want to be called, but I'm glad you're here today on another episode with The Bright Side with Technisha. And as always, I always have, I call them my blessed guests because it's always a blessing to have a guest on. Even though yesterday I didn't have one, but we kept it moving. Today I'm here with Damon Neller, who's an accomplished Christian hip-hop artist, an author, and motivational speaker. And Damon, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm fine. Good afternoon to you, Technisha, and to all of the listeners. We're doing great, and we're glad to be with you.
Now, Damon, where are you located at right now?
I'm located in Monroe, Louisiana. I'm actually originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, but I'm located at the northern part of the state in Monroe, Louisiana.
How's your weather? Is it okay? Because I know we got some showers here. We're supposed to be getting snow.
It's cold. We were supposed to have showers today, but they didn't, and unfortunately, they closed the schools down. When there's any snow threatening, they close everything down. So my kids are all home, and I mean it's cold, but there's no rain, no precipitation, no sleet, snow or anything. It's cold. But yeah.
I know one of my friends on Facebook said he want to go back to the north because Georgia apparently seems to want to close everything down. Well, they do, but I mean, at the same time, we could talk about the South, we could talk about the North, but I mean, hey, I don't want chance anything on that ice. I'm not worried about the snow. It's just the ice I'm worrying about.
Ice is pretty dangerous. Yeah,
that's no joke, but luckily it hasn't happened yet, so I can go to work and get the money.
Oh, yeah. I know that's right.
So, Damon, give us a little background about yourself as far as being an artist and an author.
Okay. Well, this year marks my 15th year as far as being an artist and a producer as well. I'm about to release my fifth project, and so I've been in the music business for quite some time now. And as far as an author, I published my first book in 2005 entitled A Great Taste of Success, and then I converted it into an e-book, and I republished it in 2010, and so currently I'm working on preparing to release A Greater Taste of Success, but those are pretty much the things that I've been doing as far as, I guess, writing and music. In addition, I'm a motivational speaker, so I have about, since 97 until now, about 17 years or so of speaking experience. And we just kept wearing all of those hats.
I know. You got too many hats going on. How do you maintain each one of them? Do you have
Pretty much most of the things I do just go under the umbrella of communication. Look, here's another hat. I'm also a business owner, janitorial service owner. But basically, what I always tell everybody who asks that question, I just say I'm pretty much a part-time everything, just part-time all of those, but I'm a full-time Christian husband and dad, and that's basically how I juggle everything, and it just depends on what's opening and what's booming at the time, and it's kind of easy, like I said, because everything just ties in to communication. And for instance, I can go and minister somewhere or have a speaking engagement, and at that same speaking engagement I can perform, and then afterwards, you know, I could sell books, sell CDs, and so it all kind of meshes together and it balances out.
Well, hey, you're right, you got this. It's all about managing and being organized to handle that many hats. I have been there, especially in college, doing newspaper, radio show, you being so much without realizing it. But as long as you're taking care of yourself and and knowing what's best for you, then, hey, I say all for it. What brought about your passion for music, though?
Well, when I had first got into the church, came to the Lord, at the time there weren't any Christian hip-hop artists, as a matter of fact. That's how it began, because I came, and like I said, it was 99, and so this was when the church really had its eyes closed towards hip-hop and really weren't embracing it. And there were very few, like I said, I think it probably was DC Talk at that time, and later on there was this great, this record label called entitled Great Tree that produced a whole bunch. And basically it came out of that, you know, seeing a need and a niche and wanted to fill it. And, of course, I waited on God to give the go-ahead and the inspiration. And at the time, I talked to my pastor about it, and he confirmed it and kind of gave me the go-ahead. And I've basically been doing it since then, and God has really been blessing and opening up doors and just exposing.
See, that's good. I'm so happy for you. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you now? Damon?
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect to Compete and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back on the air with Damon. Sorry for the call drop. If anybody is interested while you're listening, you can call in at 347-426-3751. We always love to take responses as long as they're positive. Damon, before we got cut off, we were engaged in a good conversation. One of my questions was, I think we were talking about your passion for the music, and we were just like you was explaining about it with Christian, well, Christian hip hop.
Well, like I said, it was just that out of that need and a niche, and God really began to inspire me to do it. And basically I had also, back in the past, I had done secular hip-hop, just kind of as a play thing, as a leisure thing, as a fun thing with my friends. And I would, like I always say, we created what they call today the mixtapes, where we would use someone else's tracks and instrumental tracks, and then we would rap to them. And we used to just do it for fun. And then I never did get serious with it at that time. But then once the Lord began to inspire me and I saw that, hey, we could use this music as a tool to reach souls and to minister and just to uplift and inspire, because now I'm actually getting into doing some secular hip-hop as well, but it's inspirational. It's not your typical secular hip-hop that's out there. And so we're kind of shifting towards that, definitely still doing the Christian hip-hop, but we're just exploring some life concepts that are, I think, are going to be relevant and really hit home with a lot of people.
So basically, what age were you when you began your career in music?
I was 22. I was 22 when I first began. I was 22 when I first recorded my first single. It was in the summer '09. I put out a two-track single, and it did pretty well. And from then, I said, "Well, I'll go ahead and put out my first CD." And we've been keeping on since then. But yeah, I started, I guess, kind of late as far as what typically your artists these days are starting. But, yeah, I was in college, 22, when I started. And, look, here's another hat to throw in there. It was funny because I was actually a teacher. I went to college to become a teacher. And so I had begun teaching at the time, and then the passion for music began to arise. And so I started to go after it while I was teaching. But, yeah, that's how old I was, 22.
Sam, you think you're ever going to go back to it, teaching?
No, a lot of people ask me that. I personally feel that that door has been shut.
Oh.
And so we're basically going to move on in the direction we were going. Because really, I love teaching, and I mean, of course, I still teach with my talk show and with my ministry, but it's just the format of the educational system that really, I guess, irritated me. I almost felt like I was in bondage, and it was hindering me and really taking away from my time to devote to creating music and writing and stuff. And so that's basically why I don't believe is that I believe that chapter is shut. The doors, the chapters, the book is closed and the door is shut on that chapter.
Oh, and I'm sure you have made a fine teacher, but really by you doing your music, that is teaching the youth. It's teaching the young man out here that you can still rap, but you don't always have to have all the bad words, the profanity.
Yeah.
You don't have your pants hanging down. I mean, I love my hip-hop at times, but sometimes it gets outrageous. They go overboard. You're like, seriously, did you just make that song, dude?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like I've heard a lot of people say, the problem is just there's no balance. It's like when it has become one-dimensional, and every time you hear it, the concepts are all the same. It's just somebody else saying the same thing, the same message. And I believe which is actually happening because there's a shift in the music, whereas people are going from the terrestrial radio to the online. And it's really a blessing because that is an ideal place for people like myself, independents, because they are more apt to listening to new and creative artists and independent artists. And so there's a shift to the conscious rap again. I'm starting to see a huge emergence of conscious rappers and people really embracing it because what's happening, people are getting fed up. And if you look at music, especially hip-hop, it kind of goes through trends. And the trend that it's been going through is basically the time is up on it. So it's time for a shift and a move and a transition into another segment or another time frame of hip-hop. And that's what I'm saying that's happening. It's really happening. And it's going to create that balance that we're looking for. You know, like you said, some people like the hardcore stuff. That's fine if that's what the people like. But then there are some listeners who are looking for something else. And when it's the way it's been created, it's like, okay, I can't get it. And so now all I can do, is settle for this, whereas they're looking for something else.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I'm glad you are trying to make that change for everybody. It's just the same way. That's why we had R&B. At your blues, because everybody wanted something different. One of them want to listen to the same stuff over and over. What actually led you to Christian hip hop? Was it your family values?
Yeah, like I said, I had just really come into the church, and God really saved me, really delivered me, brought me out of some things that I was into, and it was like I said, well, I want to make the music that's going to glorify him, that's going to be pleasing in his eyesight, and also will minister to the people. I can present the gospel in a unique and creative way to people and just present God's love through that music. So it was through my foundation that I had, you know, God had just established because I had gotten saved at 19. And so, like I said, I've been in the Lord for like 3 years. And God had begun to just build this strong foundation in the Word and in a relationship with him. And so I wanted to make music that would mirror that experience that I had just begun. And basically that's what it's been doing. My music has been evolving with me, with my lifetime experiences, with my relationship with God, relationship with people. And so basically that's how you can tell I guess the experiences of where I am in my life by the music, it pretty much mirrors it. And I believe a person as an artist or whatever we do, it should grow with us. We shouldn't be, you know, years later with the same message or in the same spot. Because if you were to listen to each one of my CDs, you would notice a vast difference. You would notice, hey, man, there's some growth here. He's getting better and better. And the concepts are different, you know. And so I believe that should happen. That's what should happen with anything we're doing. It should evolve and it should grow. And because we as people should do the same.
Yeah, they should. And we don't have to follow the way of the world. Now, you have a track, you have a CD out called Conception and Rebirth. What is actually the concept behind it?
Well, what happened to Conception and Rebirth, it's funny, I'm glad that you asked that. Initially, I was going to put out one CD entitled The Rebirth, and what happened, it took so long, the Lord had put me, I was on a five-year hiatus. And, you know, I was like, well, after that first year, I was like, well, I'm going to put it out. And, I mean, things just kept on happening to prolong that time. And eventually, it got to the place where I started just hearing the word conception in my spirit. And so I'm like, okay, hold on. Before anything can be born or reborn, it must first be conceived. So then I'm like, okay, conception and rebirth. And the concept is basically like a double disc because you have, in those 22 songs, I'm dealing with a whole bunch of different concepts that we're dealing with. And, you know, it's like a musical journey, that project. I really love it. That was, like I say, one of my best projects because it was due to, like I say, 5 years of being on a hiatus and just all of that creative energy, the tracks and everything just being built up during that time. And so once we released it, God really blessed it, and it's still blessing it. We have some hits on that CD because, like I said, it came through my trials and tribulations and experiences and just what God really inspired. But that's how that came about, Conception and Rebirth, basically a double disc, 22 songs. You had a conception and you had a rebirth, and we're dealing with a whole bunch of different concepts. And also it symbolized me being reborn or changing my identity, because when I first started rapping, I was Brother D, but God gave me the name The Real. And so, you know, all of those things encompass how we came up with the idea for that CD.
Okay. Well, I was listening to some of it, and I do. I love it, especially, I think it's one called Beautiful Girl.
Yeah.
which was attributed to your wife. How long you been married?
Yeah. Just made 16 years. Yeah, we've been together 17, and last December we made 16 years we've been married. Yeah.
That's a good long time. It'll be 10 years for me by June.
Okay, good deal. My birthday's in June.
Oh, what day?
Yeah.
What day are you on? Okay, I just had a past birthday. Mine was on February 3rd.
Oh, okay. Well, happy belated birthday there.
Yeah, thank you. So what people have you come to know that love your music?
Well, I have a diverse audience, believe it or not. The kids love it. The children love it. I have some tracks that they really love. I mean, I have teenagers. I have, you know, middle-aged people. I even have older people. You probably wouldn't believe this. I literally did a senior citizen's party one time. They brought me in a wrap for this guy's mom was making like 65 or something like that. And they brought me in. Had a great time. I kid you not. So it's like it amazes me the range of the fans, because it's like, wow, they're like, you know, older people. They're like, I don't really like rap. But I like your rap. I love your rap, you know. And it's just funny. It's amazing. I've come to see and then multicultural. I'm on a website called Django, and with it, you get to pick up fans like I said, on an international basis. And so I have fans all over the place, in Japan and England and China, Malaysia, Great Britain, the UK. I mean, just all over the place. And so I really don't, I guess, try to just hone in on just one age group, because it appeals, it has a mass appeal. So I like I said, I've come to meet and find that we have fans just all across the board, you know.
See, that's a good thing. I'm glad it's hitting everybody. But as a young gentleman in this industry, how important is it for you to, like, just have that strict and positive frame of mind when interacting, I guess, with most of the stakeholders while representing your brand as an artist and as an entrepreneur?
Well, I think you just have to be focused and know your goals and your agenda and what you're trying to obtain, because people will attempt to pull you in many directions. But if you know who you are as far as your identity and what your goals are, what you're trying to achieve, then I believe you want to assemble and connect and collaborate with people who are going to keep you going in that direction, especially the place I am now. All of that is defined. It's not like me trying to find that direction. I'm no longer in discovery mode. I'm just in more of branching out. You know, God, I've discovered it. I'm established. But now we're just trying to expand. We're in expansion mode. And so it's just basically assembling with people who see the vision that God has given me, know which direction I'm going into, and are willing to push me in that direction as opposed to pull me in. Five people trying to do that, I basically have to back up or even cut them off, you know, never to be evil or never to be mean, but in business there's just a certain savvy and a certain mind frame, like you asked, that you have to have. And so if a person has not been an asset, then he or she has been a liability. And it's hard to run a race. It's hard to do a business. It's hard to do anything successfully when you're carrying dead weight or when you have people trying to pull you into directions that you're not trying to go. So I think that's the main thing, just knowing who you are and knowing your focus, your objective, knowing exactly where you're trying to go, and then assembling those people who see that and embrace it. Because some people, they'll see where you're going, but it's just something inside them. They're well, like, I want, I believe you can come this way too. But no, you know, it'll take you off your focus, and you'll end up missing your target if you do that. So you just have to stay focused, know what you're going after.
All the time, because you got so many, I'm a demon. They come at you left and right. I'm going to see which way I can get him. I'm going to pick on him. Let me get him. Let me see if I can break
him.
But by you staying strong and maintaining that shield of the Lord, that keeps you going.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you were going to be serious about pursuing a music career? Did it ever occur to you that you was going to go this far in life with it?
Well, I guess yes and no. When I first, I mean, that was the key. I had a great vision. God would really show me things, and that's what I've been going after, and a lot of that has come to pass. And I tell you, like I was stating earlier, when I was on that hiatus, when things weren't just working out, and, you know, I knew God had given me more CDs, and I knew I would be recording more, but it just seemed like it wasn't going to happen. But it was during that time that a sister in my church, this sister called me one morning, and she was so excited. She was hysterical. I'm like, sister, what's going on? She said, brother, damn, I just want to tell you. I don't know, because she didn't, you know, no one really knew what was going on behind the scenes as far as the music. They knew I had put out CDs, and we knew I was going to put out one, just didn't know when. But she said, I don't know where you are, what you doing with your music. She said, but don't you stop. Don't you stop. I'm like, okay, sister, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. She's like, well, what happened? The Lord gave me a dream. And I saw you were performing for thousands of people. It was so many people. And they were just going with you. They were loving your music and all of that. And I'm like, wow. And, I mean, at that time, I was at a very low point, you know. And it was like maybe this vision that I thought was God, maybe it was just me. You know, you get to that place in life when you're pursuing a goal and a mission and an objective where it seems like it's not going to happen. And you need people like that to encourage you. And, you know, she definitely was one, but I've had others that come and say, man, look, don't stop doing what you're doing. You might not reach a whole bunch of people, but you're going to reach somebody with this. And just those words of encouragement helped me to refocus and to regain the vision and to keep on going. And because of it, things are happening. You know, the scripture says that the vision is for an appointed time, and at the end it will speak and not lie. So what that means is whenever you have a mission and an objective, a vision, a goal, at the beginning it's going to lie. And what the lie is the fact that all of the puzzle pieces hadn't come together yet. There are some people who are going to become a part of your team who hadn't been assembled yet. There are some experiences that you're going to experience that are going to help the vision to come to pass that you hadn't experienced yet. So at the beginning, you basically have mostly lies and little truth. All the real truth is just the vision. And so as you keep on going towards the vision, even in the middle, you're going to have some puzzle pieces. You're going to have maybe half. But then the other half of the puzzle pieces hadn't come, so it's still a lie. It's when you get to the end and you have all the puzzle pieces that the vision, okay, it all makes sense now. But where people miss it is having the endurance. And that's the thing that God sustained and gave me, the endurance to keep on until the end. And this is a principle, so it's relevant to everybody, even you, Technisha, with your goals and your vision and your dreams. You know, it's going to look like lies are happening. But as you keep on and you get to the end, all of the puzzle pieces, all of the people, all of the resources are going to come together, and what you've been seeing, what you're going after, is going to – it takes having that faith and that patience to allow God to assemble everything, even the time off, even when things go wrong. Like you say, sometimes, you know, you might not have a caller to call in, or – things might happen, but that's all a part of the process. It's all a part of the process. You know, I made many mistakes along the way, bumped my head lots of times, but I'm still here. And, you know, we just have to stick with it, and that's what I did. And because of it, God is blowing my mind.
Exactly. Well, we're going to take a short commercial break, and I'm coming right back because we have another caller on the line.
Okay.
There's only one station that will keep you happy, Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back on the air, and we are with our lovely guest, Raymond Miller. A artist, an author, and a motivational speaker. Well, we have a call online. Caller, can you state your name?
James Washington.
Hi, James. How are you? Thank you for calling in. So do we have any questions for Damon?
Yeah. Y'all talking about, like, Christian stuff. I joined a church up here in Virginia when I moved here 5 years ago. Next month will be 5 years I've been here, and we go feed the homeless 3 times a month, the second Saturday, the third Saturday, and the fourth Saturday each month. We out there feeding the homeless, and I love, that's my heart. My goal is to feed 480 people.
Man.
And I enjoy doing it because God put that in my heart a long time ago, because I was once homeless or hungry at one time, so I'm giving back to my community.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm from Norfolk, Virginia. I'm originally from Sandersville, Georgia, but I moved here 5 years ago. I'm from Georgia myself, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, because they don't, I'm from a small town, and they don't really do homeless stuff like that, but I'm in my community all the time. People know me around here. They call me the blessed man. I said, don't call me that, because God put that in me to give to y'all. And I love doing stuff like that in my community. Can't nobody ever take that away from me.
And they're not supposed to. That's right.
That's
something supposed to be
instilled in. Well, keep on doing that, Brother James. It's really a need and a niche for what you're doing. And, of course, it's always a blessing to have someone like you. You are being a blessing. And everything that people do as far as helping, those who are in need, God really smiles upon it. And you're really an important vessel to him, man. So keep up the good work.
Definitely. Yeah, we came to Atlanta a couple of years ago in 2012, and we did some stuff in the community for the kids down in Atlanta also.
Oh, awesome.
Yep, so I'm basically everywhere. I was in Pennsylvania the weekend, so I ain't gonna tell you where I'd be at next.
Well, that's awesome, man. That is awesome.
Well, not cutting anybody off, but since James is on that path, I was thinking of the fact that Conception and Rebirth is one of your projects, but why is it your favorite project?
Who, me?
What?
For Damon?
No. Yeah. I guess because it had, to me, the best production. I had teamed up with my producers who were on my first CD, and we came back together, and that was one of the things. The production was greater, and then my delivering, my skills, God had sharpened them, and they had become better. And then just where I was at a more mature place, and I guess the process in which I recorded it as well. My first three CDs, what I did, I basically went, I blocked out like hours in the studio, and I did most of them basically in one day or one night. And I might have gone back and did some minor stuff after that, but the bulk of the work I did it in one night. But with the Conception and Rebirth, we just did one song at a time, and so I was able to put all of my energy and my focus into each song and basically perfect it. And so all of those factors, I say, made it to be the best one thus far. Now, the current one I'm working on, I think it might even be better than that. I guess the fans will have to decide which one they love the best. But, I believe it's getting, like I say, it's getting better and better. I believe God is really enhancing it. So but up to this point, I think the Conception and Rebirth has been the best one.
Well, as they say, music always brings everybody together regardless. You can be sad, upset, happy. It's going to still bring you together. Like we were talking about, music of some types they receive some criticism in some parts of the market feel that certain music is sending the wrong message. What is your feelings about that form of assumption that is a part of anyone's musical journey?
Well, I believe that is actually true. As you were stating, as far as music in evoking emotions, what happens, like the script says, that the power of death and life on the power of the tongue. And so what happens when we release words, we're releasing them into the atmosphere. What people don't understand is that words are seeds. And so when seeds are released, they will produce fruit. And what happens whatever we're putting out there is going to grow up and become fruit, and then we have to eat of that fruit. In other words, we're going to reap what we sow. So if we're sowing profanity, cursing, negative stuff, then that literally is what we're going to have to eat of in our lives, and it affects people. I was a science fair judge a few years ago, and there was a young lady who did a science experiment. And her experiment was to see the effects of music on plant growth. So what she did, the first few days, she gave it, the water, the sunlight, and everything, but she played some very vulgar, profane hip-hop music. And so in those few days, the plant began to literally die. It began to literally die, wither up. And she was watering it. She was giving it life, but she was playing just some bad, negative music. So then to test it and approve it, she did the opposite. She started playing some positive music. She didn't alter any of the other factors. She kept on watering it, kept on giving it the sunlight. And do you know the plant started to revive and started to live again? So imagine, if it had that effect on a plant, imagine what it's having on our atmosphere and our lives. Because that is the power of the word. And basically, like Jesus said, he said, my words are spirit and they are life. And what he meant was my words are an energy force. They're an energy source. And that's what words are. That's why they're so powerful. We're literally putting certain energies out there. And so that's what we, in turn, are going to have to live off of. Whatever we put out is going to come back to us. So, yeah. I try to tell artists, just be mindful, and just people in general, be mindful of what you're saying, because there is a result, you know. And not only that, the scripture teaches everybody's going to be judged, you know, by any idle word that's spoken. So we want to make our words count. And, you know, I choose to uplift and inspire and encourage as opposed to curse and degrade. I choose to bless because, you know, that's what I want to eat of. You know, I want to eat of the blessings. I want to eat of inspiration and things that are uplifting and positive. And I know it has a direct connection to people's emotions. So, you know, music could arouse any kind of emotion. It could arouse violence. It could arouse anger. It could make you happy. It could make you sad. I mean, it has that power because the words are the energy for us.
And see, and that's what I always learn. Whether you put out good or bad, it's always going to come back to you, but I prefer to put out the good.
Yeah.
I'm hearing about, I also did a little bit more on Triple Threat. What is this all about?
Okay, that's my current project that I'm working on, and it'll probably, right now I have 15 songs. I have one more song that I want to record with this great artist, but with this one, I had always wanted to do a collaboration CD, but what happened each time, I didn't have the right people, and it was unbeknownst to me. I had no idea what was going on, but because I knew I had a vision for this, and I knew God had put this desire in my spirit. But actually, Conception and Rebirth, I was trying to do it then, but I kid you not, everybody I was trying to collaborate with for that, they all fell through the crack. I said, when I say every last one of them, every last one fell through the cracks. So what I ended up doing was using the background singers who have basically been with me the whole time. But let me show you what the Lord did. In 2011, the Lord sent me to, I went to Tennessee. It was this group called the Extreme Tour, and they had this session they called the Objective. And so when I went to this, I met artists from all across the world, all kinds, and it was mostly like rock and indie type of music. But they had a small group of us who were rappers and R&B, rhythm and praise worshipers and all of that stuff. So we kind of hung together and clung together. And what happened, those are the people who make up this CD, the Triple Threat CD. So like I said, before when I tried it, I didn't have the right people and it wasn't time. So God sent me here. I connected with these people. And they are the artists, and they are all good. They are some great up-and-coming artists. Man, they are awesome who are on this project. And in addition, you know, I have some songs where it's just me, but we have about, I think it's about five or six artists who are on this CD. And like I said, when I say they're awesome, man, they are awesome. And so that's what Triple Threat is going to be about, just symbolizing that I'm at the climax of my walk with God in the ministry, especially as far as the music. It also symbolizes the hats that I wear to produce a songwriter and artist. And before this, you know, we added another hat because I'm now my own recording engineer as well. But that basically is what Triple Threat symbolizes, and that's what it's going to be about. And this is another one that's going to have a mass appeal. We have a song called Cruising that I know is going to have an international appeal, just talking about riding with your drop top down, you know, cruising, and I'm even singing on that one. So, it's going to be a real nice project, and those artists are real great. Their contributions are just awesome. So But that's basically what the Triple Threat Project is going to be about.
So, Damon, how hard do you really push yourself? Because I know that you said you got all these hats. Do you push yourself to that point, like you just got to complete this mission?
Yes, yes, yes. And what happens, I mean, it's just when you're called to do something, and not just called, but when God has chosen you and you have chosen to embrace the mission and the objective, it won't let up. You have to do it. Like the brother was saying, James, like you say, he does what he does, and he just has to do it. You know, it's in him. And so whenever God has called you and chosen you to do something, if you don't do it, you're going to be frustrated. If you don't do it, you're not going to have peace. You're going to wrestle with yourself. And it's a lot of people out there who God is calling, literally chosen them to do stuff, but because of the fear factor, they're wrestling with themselves, you know. And really all it is taking a step. We walk by faith, not by sight. So many people, they're waiting for everything to fall into place before they take the move. But we have to make the moves first, and then the resources and the people and the things are going to come. But if we don't take the move and allow that burden and that passion in us to push us into doing it, then it will never get done. You know, of course it's not going to get done on its own. So many people, I hear them saying, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, in actuality, the Lord, in most cases, are waiting on us. Because once we start, you know, if we make a move, he'll make a move. He does what we can do.
Right.
He's not going to do anything that we can do.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're part of the Supercuts Rock, the Cut Artist Ambassador Program. Can you describe the purpose of that program?
Yeah, what Supercuts did with certain independent artists, those who they have selected, you know, Supercut is a huge name. It's a national chain. And what they're doing is just embracing independent artists and giving you exposure. So we're on their website, and you can go, and if you go to the Supercuts website, you'll find the Rock the Artist Artist Ambassador Program. And you could type in my name and my track, it'll come up, and it's a free download of one of my songs. But what they were doing was just embracing indie artists and giving indie artists some exposure. And it also is a blessing because you're associated with a strong brand name as Supercuts. So they're not just picking anybody. You know, they're picking quality independent artists to showcase and expose. And in addition, you know, we kind of tweet the information that they send to kind of help market and promote them, but they're also promoting the artist. So it's a win-win situation.
It is. Go ahead, James. Oh, question.
Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah,
I hear a lot of interference in the background. I'm sorry. So,
do you have any music influences in your life? Yeah, well, back in the day, I was a hip hop head, as they call it, hip hop junkie, and I fiend hip hop music. So, I have so many influences. It would be a huge list, but I mean, I'm old school as far as the rap. I guess it's not a whole
Drew
bunch
Day
of. Yeah, artists that I listen to today. But, you know, I used to listen to the guy Guru with Gangstar. I used to listen to, of course, KRS-One. And let's see who else I used to listen to. I used to listen to one of my favorite groups right before I got converted and saved was Pete Rock and CL Smooth. I love them.
Yeah.
But, I like the whole bunch of different rappers. You know, I just had an open mind, and I just listened to just all kind of, not just rap, but just music, period. So I have a lot of influence, a lot of influences in different genres, actually. But I think my strongest was the hip-hop arena.
Now, I admire one of your songs, Nobody, which I would love to play at the moment. But this is off the album Conception and Rebirth, right?
No, this is that's Triple Threat, actually. Those are two of the artists. That's a husband and wife couple who are on that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you don't mind, Damon, I would love to give the audience a preview of your song.
Play it. And, yeah, it's available, too. So go ahead.
Welcome to the celebration. Do me like the Lord. Can't nobody make me go this hard. Things of God, yes, I'm all for it. Love it, you know I adore it. Glory, like I'm in a Lamborghini. Calling on Jesus like he's a genie. He grants me all of my wishes. Remote control, like I'm hitting switches.
Can't nobody treat me right. Can't nobody do me like Christ. Can't nobody live my life. Nobody, nobody. Can't nobody love me like you.
Get up on that cross. Can't nobody attempt to pay the cost. Can't nobody love me through this granite. I only know one brother and it's time to save the planet. Oh, and it's so easy to see. I don't need a calculator or a master's degree. Cause 2 + 2 is simple math for me. If Jesus is the way, then that's the door for me. Come on.
Can't nobody treat me this right. Can't nobody do me like Christ. Can't nobody live my life. Nobody, nobody. Can't nobody love me like you. Can't nobody love me like him. Look, nobody but him. Nobody, nobody.
He's the one that's here and everywhere. He's the one that takes on all my cares. A clear and present help. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. And when there's no one to be found, I don't even have to look around. Always by my side, his love abounds. Can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody treat me this right. Can't nobody do me like Christ. Can't nobody live my life. Nobody, nobody. Can't nobody love me like you. Can't nobody love me like him. Look, nobody but him.
Can't nobody treat me this right. Can't nobody do me like Christ. Can't nobody live my life. Nobody, nobody. Can't nobody love me like him. Can't nobody hug me like him. Trust nobody but him. Nobody, nobody.
Oh, I just love that song. It's so powerful. And it reminds me of something my mother used to always tell me when I was growing up, too. You don't need a master's degree to deal with the Lord because God already gives you wisdom. He gives you your own knowledge. So you don't need no degree for that.
Amen. We appreciate the playing, sister. We're glad you love it. I know the artists who are on the song, they're going to be happy, you know, because God is really blessing that song. And it's like I said, the collaboration songs, they are all awesome. And God is blessed. We're actually getting airplay in France with that song and then this other song. So, we appreciate you letting them check it out. And it's available already for download at ReverbNation.com/TheReal. But, you know.
Well, Amy, you're doing so much in life, and it's just so powerful. Almost want to. I always, mostly when I feel it, I always get emotional when I listen to gospel music. Anyway, you know, I be going through a lot sometimes, and it, you know, you don't always want to tell nobody what you're going through, but it just be so much. It touched me in a special way, it did, and I'm really glad that you gave us the opportunity to listen to it. Besides all your different hats that you do have, what's the side of you that no one has never seen or know about you?
Well, I guess I have a funny side. I guess they say I'm secretly kind of mischievous or shy or funny, you know, undercover humor. But I think people seldomly see that side because I'm kind of serious and business-minded for the most part, and I believe most people get that side of me the most. But, you know, I'm a kid at heart. I love to have fun. I mean, I have a lot of fun, man, with my kids. Matter of fact, we went to Chuck E. Cheese this past Sunday to celebrate my third child's birthday and stuff, and we had the greatest fun. But like I said, I'm a kid at heart, and I just love to have fun. I do have a funny side, but because I'm in, I guess, with ministry and the stuff I do, it's just a certain mind frame and a perspective and a way I carry myself that I think people really don't get to see that side. But the people who know me, they know all the aspects of Damon. So it's like, oh, man, you know, y'all just see one side of Damon. But I know the funny side, just the no titles, no anything, just the plain Damon. And I believe that's one of the greatest things, you know, as God, with regards to what God does in our lives and how he anoints us, he blesses us, and he exposes us, we have to always still be real, period, with people across the board. But I think we have to have people who get to see that side of us, you know, the just no titles, no nothing, just the regular side, just the regular Damon, just the regular, you know, James and the regular Technisha, you know. And so I always said I want to always have those kind of people. And, I mean, like I said, even people in business, once they get to see me and get to know me, it's like, oh, yeah, man, he's cool. But, like I said, just I'm pretty professional. I'm pretty focused. So sometimes that's what comes across, and they're like, oh, man, this dude, he don't like to have fun. He just no nonsense. He just get it done. But when I'm doing business, I'm doing work, I'm just driven and focused. So it's like, okay, you know, we can have some fun, but let's make sure we get this done. And I think people don't see that other side a lot.
Yeah, they don't have to. That's how I am. You're always going to see the fun side. You're always going to see the fun side of me. But at times I will explode, but I do it in a way where, okay, you don't know I'm really upset. I try not to be too emotional.
Yeah.
Your work, because people play off your emotions. They do.
Now, wait a minute, Dan. Oh, yeah.
Before we even get off the air, because we still got a little bit more time. Now, you do have a TV ministry, and it's going pretty well for you. How long have you been doing that?
The Lord bless. Actually, next month, it's coming up on a year. I just we launched out in March of last year, and so it's been just a year. But man, when I say God has really been blessing and just really been able to share the word of the Lord and to have different guests on who have just some anointed and powerful men and women of God and just people of God, just good people who have come on the show, and it's been doing real well. God has really, like I said, been expanding it and exposing it. And also, I have some of the sessions on YouTube, and my channel is Mr. Daryl, MRDARIL1, Mr. Daryl 1. And I have episodes on there, and as a matter of fact, I'll be uploading some newer episodes as well. But, yeah, people could go through the website, and if they see any copies that they want, they could purchase. Because a lot of those, the ones on YouTube, I did, like, sessions, so I might have one or two. But, you know, if they wanted the whole package, they could go through the website, thereal.org, to get it. But yeah, God has really been blessing that, and we're just so grateful that we did step out to pursue it, because that was a part of the vision. And people, like we were talking about earlier when you asked about being focused and how to, you know, you deal with people trying to pull you in different directions and stuff like that. When everybody would see what God would show the vision of me, they see me ministering to a lot of people and stuff like that. But when they process it and interpret it, they always think pastor. But God didn't call me to that. God called me to do this for TV ministry and radio ministry and music. That's my niche. That's my platform and my stage. But if I were to allow people to put me in position, that's the first thing they would want to do. Set me up with a church, make me a pastor. But this is what God has called me to do, exactly what I'm doing. And we're effective, and we love it. And like I say, I mean, this is where God is really blessing it. God is really blessing it.
Amen. I'm so happy for your successful journey, as I mentioned earlier, and I'm going to keep standing because it is a blessing to have a young man who's putting out positive stuff instead of negative stuff, and I love it so much. And where you see yourself from 5 to 10 years from now?
I just see myself, just the vision coming to pass of me really doing all of this full time and just being traveling the world, ministering, sharing the word, motivating people, helping people to get their lives together and just being a blessing to the world, basically. And like I said, just doing these same things but expanding even more and more. And that's basically where I see myself, full-time just doing ministry. Because we didn't talk about the hat of being the author, but the e-book I'll be releasing it with the Triple Threat CD, my next e-book, A Greater Taste of Success. And in it, when it starts off, I start off by talking about the negative things, basically, that I've experienced from A Great Taste of Success, that time in between that and now. And it almost asks the question, well, how can you talk about being a success when you've experienced so much negative? But then I'm able to give my perspective of what success is. But, that is coming out as well. And did I get you a copy of The Great Taste of Success, Technisha?
No, I did not get a copy. I got to make sure I get one.
Okay, I'm going to get you a copy. And Brother James, if you could, email me or something, I could... Do you have an email, Brother James?
Yes, sir. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Let me get to you right quick.
Yes, sir.
JamesWashington.284@gmail.com.
Okay. You said .284?
284, yes, sir.
Yeah, JamesWashington.284@gmail. Okay. And,
yes, sir.
Yes, I'll send both of you
Facebook.
Guys. Okay.
I'm on Facebook also, James Jr., Big Time of Washington. Tokenisha know all that information.
Mm-hmm. And I can get information.
Okay.
I try to make sure I covered everything, because Damon does. He has too many hats. Entrepreneur, author, producer, teacher.
Oh, yeah.
He does it all.
From, Damon?
So, good. We're going to add dancer, cooker.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, Damon. I was focused on two things on this show. Now you came in here with these 50,000 hats now. So Damon,
where you from, Damon?
Damon, do you have any last words for our listeners out there? Is there any advice that you want to give to our younger generations that want to pursue their dreams as such?
Hello?
Yes, Damon?
My computer would just shut off on me.
I know mine does the same thing. I'm surprised it's still on. But my last question
was... Yeah, look, the devil's a liar, huh? Yeah.
Before we get off air, I want to ask, is there any last-minute comments that you want to give the listeners or any advice to the younger generation who want to pursue their dreams?
Yeah, I just want to tell everyone who's listening, just be encouraged. Go after your dreams and your visions at all costs. Don't allow people to distract you or get you off course. And don't even allow the circumstances of life to get you off course. What I find is that when people encounter obstacles, oftentimes it just either shuts them down or it takes them off course in another direction. But what has to happen, we have to just understand what we've gone through, look at the experience, and find out how do I now move on from here to still obtain my dream. For instance, a lot of young people sometimes, young ladies especially, they may have dreams and aspirations, and they may end up getting pregnant or something like that. And so I've seen so many of those put their dreams and aspirations on the back burner and say, well, no, I won't do it. You know, I'm going to take care of my child. Well, of course, take care of the child. But what I'm saying is there is sometimes a way that you can still fulfill your dreams if that were to happen. You know, of course, I counsel, hey, don't do that. You know, you got time for all that. Wait till you get married. But in the reality, those who do and make mistakes, you know, some people get incarcerated. All kind of things happen that will may affect and delay your dream and your passion. But my thing is, keep on going. And, you know, I've had some things that have delayed my passion. I've had some experiences that if you told me they were going to happen, I would have told you that would never happen. But they happen. Life happens. But you have to still stay focused. You have to persevere. And that means to continue despite the obstacles and even the resistance and opposition you face.
Well, Damon, we are short on our time now. But, Paulus, I hope you have been inspired and motivated so much. Please, look out for CD coming out very soon. And you all have a blessed one.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.